Thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the life. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we may come and sit to listen to your word. We are praying, Lord, that you make us not only the believers, but, Lord, to stand up for the truth and speak for the truth. We pray for, Lord, if your ministers that you have scattered around the world, that, Lord, you may give them your word, that they may preach as, Lord, you want your people to hear your word. We are praying for those who are sick, those who are not among us, that, God, you may touch them. And we pray for those, Lord, who have lost their loved ones, that, oh God, you may heal them, because you are the only one who can touch people's hearts which are broken. We thank you, Lord, for your word. I'm praying that you be with me as I expand it through your will. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the part from 2 John. I'll be preaching from verse 7 to verse 11. My title of the topic is Opposing the Deserters. It's not desert, but deserters, meaning troublemakers. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he lived among people who claimed that they were the right people. They were holding the word of God. Jesus never refuted them only, but at the same time, he wanted them to see the really truth that he was bringing to the world. The problem with us in the world we're living in today is that we have been told that we should be tolerant to other religion. But the gospel of Christ has called us to refute those who are preaching the different gospel from Jesus Christ. When John was writing the book, he was writing to believers. It's believed that they were living in Asia. And some of the disciples that John has preached, now they were going out, not preaching what John has established in this church. So when he started, John is saying, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. You see, John, he wants to point out that not all who are preaching, they are being approved by God. He had used the word deceivers, meaning these people, they want to lure you from what you have heard. They appear to preach the real gospel, yet they want to deceive you. Apostle John called them that these deceivers, they are not only deceivers, but they are antichrist. Why he mentioned the word antichrist? We have seen it before in 1 John that antichrist were against that Jesus has really come into the flesh. John say they do not confess that he had come in really flesh. Why then John was he warning them about this? Because if Jesus was, he never came into the flesh, the doctrine of incarnation, then he was in danger. And the doctrine of atonement, that he really appeared so that he can take away our sins, was not in use if Christ had not come into the flesh. So John, he wants them to be aware of the threat that these people were bringing into the church. Listen what he say in verse 8. He say, you must watch out yourselves so that you may not lose what you have already worked for. Why he want them to be on the watch out? Even Christ has told us that these people, they will come in many deceptive ways so that you may not know what Christ wants from you. He is saying, Johnny, that when they appear, they won't appear as wolf, but they will be in a skin of a sheep, so that they can be able to deceive you. And Apostle John is saying that we must always be on the watch out, so that they may not be able to take what we have worked for, so that you may not lose what you have worked for. You know, brethren, the Christian faith is not only about believing and sitting down, but is about working, as Adam and Eve was put in the Eden, to work what God has already planted for them. Even the gospel has called us to be workers and stewardship of what Christ has done for us. We understand that we are not saved by works, but every believer that has been justified, that believes in God, he has to work, because God does not like lazy people. John is saying, if we are not in watch out, the full reward that God has for us, we will not be able to receive it. Listen what John is saying. He is saying these people, they deny that Christ had come into the flesh, and they want to deceive us so that our reward can be taken away. When Paul was writing to the church of the Corinthians, he is saying, there is one foundation that has been laid, that is Jesus Christ himself. And no other foundation must be laid other than the one that he has been ready, been put on place. He say, because on that foundation, every man must be able to build using all the gift that God has given him. When we read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15, he's saying that some they build using silver, some they build using gold. But if we allow these deceivers to deceive us, we shall not have the full reward. When he continues to verse 9, he is saying, how are we going to know that this one is a deceiver? He puts a contrast between a false and a true teachers of the gospel. He says, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. John is saying, everyone who goes ahead, who's going ahead here? It's those who are saying the old gospel that Jesus Christ has preached is no more attractive today. As we have heard many on TPN, many station Emmanuels, they are bringing new teachings that in Christ we can claim whatever we want. Another one was saying he cannot follow the gospel that does not bring what he wants. Now all what we do is we tell God as a bank that we possess you. Whatever we want you to do, you must do on our commands. John is saying they have gone ahead, they have run ahead, meaning they bring an attractive gospel. But you must be watch out, because at the end, it's not what we see, but at the end it brings destruction. Then John will say, everyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching. You remember that in 1 John he was saying, we must continue in the teaching of Christ. And anyone who does not do that, he does not have God. Although their gospel can be attractive, but the true message is they are trying to bring God and living out Jesus Christ. They do not want to confess that Christ has come into the flesh so that as human beings, our sins can be forgiven. And Johnny continued, but he said, whoever now abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Any preacher that continues, any believer that continues in the teaching of Christ, he has both the Son and he has got also the Father. How come this preacher, he continues in the teaching of Christ? Because he himself has been convinced and been called by God to proclaim that he, in Christ alone, grace and mercy and peace, they are only found in him. Look at 2 John verse 3. The apostle has pointed out that only in him we receive grace and mercy and peace, which not only comes from the Father, but also in Jesus Christ. So when these deceivers, they do not confess that Jesus has come into the flesh and also has dwelt among us and be crucified, meaning believers, they don't have peace with God, because only Christ is able to restore us to the relationship that was detested by sin. Listen at verse 10, what verse 10 is saying now. Verse 10 to 11, he wants to point out how, as believers, we should treat these false teachers. When I was preaching in the Zulu service, I was saying, if you believe that I'm not a true preacher, you should not even give your tithe and offering. But if you do believe that I'm a true minister of God, the Bible says, even a cup that you give, you shall receive a reward for that. Listen what Johnny is saying. Johnny is saying, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greetings. NIV have missed it. NIV had used the word welcome. ESV has used greetings. Only the Zulu Bible is interpreted very well, close to the Greek language. Do not greet even that person. Another question was asked in the Zulu service, should we not greet people when we come across them? That was a very good question. But the Bible doesn't mean that greeting that you know, that we are used to daily basic. What kind of welcoming and what kind of greetings? The Greek word has used a word, if I'm not mistaken in pronouncing it well, is kerin, which were used in welcoming or when someone was going away. They will use something like this. I am glad to see you when you are going. I wish you well. Read the book of Acts chapter 15 verse 23 or James chapter 1 verse 1. Every time the apostle would come with a greeting, say, I greet the church, so and so, meaning, I wish you well, and I'm glad to see you. Why, Apostle John say, you must not welcome them into your house? Offer him no hospitality. Because if you offer these people hospitality, this may give a concept that you do agree with their teaching. Not only agreeing with their teaching, but going forward to promote what they are doing. Why not greet them? If we continue to wish them well, we used to call them ministers, men of God. We give them room that they may continue to do what they are doing. Apostolic John say, do not offer hospitality to such people. Look at the word he had used. He say, if anyone comes, meaning these people were traveling missionaries, which were spreading the different gospel. And John is saying, if these people, they do not bring, using the traveling motive, if they are not carrying in their package the true gospel, hospitality should not be given to them. When he finished verse 11, he's saying, for whoever greets him, for whoever wish them well, for whoever show hospitality, he takes part in his wicked works. Why he had used this word wicked? The church Apostle John was writing to was clearly in a good position to understand the work of the devil. They knew that the devil was a deceiver. And everyone who deceives is from the devil, is not born of God. They know that the Antichrist was against, that Christ has come to destroy the power of sin. So anyone who greets or takes that person in, he had share in his wicked, using the word wicked, meaning he has been cut off from God, loosened from God. Brothers, I don't know what kind of work we support in the church, but I'm told that there are two things God will do in a church, and I'm hoping it won't come to us. When God wants to destroy a church that welcomes false teachers, God will send false ministers. But if God wants to build the church because they are faithful to the truth, as we have been talking, God will send true servants that will preach the true gospel. Let us refresh again. John is saying many deceivers have gone out into the world. Look, it has been a long time in time of John the Apostle when he writes. But he mentions that many have already gone out of the world. Verse 8, watch yourselves that you do not lose the full reward. You may not lose salvation, but watch yourself that you may not lose what you have worked for. Verse 9, it's easy to differentiate them. Jesus say, you will know them by their fruits. John is saying, anyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. But whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Verse 10, they will come, but when they come, do not entertain them. They will come, but do not entertain them. Verse 11, whoever amongst you will greet, whoever amongst you will welcome him, he'll take part in his wicked work. My wife was telling me a story yesterday. He say, another brother from his area was a friend to a gangsters. He was a young guy going to a school, and the friends were working. They were driving big cars, nice cars. And in township, we all know that anyone who wants to drive a BMX 8, X7, X6, once you have a friend like that, you become a big gun too. So one day, these brothers were driving a nice car. Unfortunately, the car was stolen. The brother thought the guys they were having money because they were working, yet they had a second job. Unfortunately, the police, they were chasing these guys. The guy was inside the car, coming from school. All those guys, they were shot dead. Only this guy was left alive. The police never asked, were you part of this? They took him to jail. Listen what John is saying. For whoever greets him, take part in his wicked works. You don't need to be like them. You don't need, in fact, to teach or deceive others. But if we are part of them, we have already participated in their wicked ways. What does it mean, this to us as a church, the application? Brothers and sisters, it's easy to check and to put a thermometer to a true gospel. Everyone who abides in the teaching of Christ, obviously, will bear fruits that are in line with what he believes. Another man was saying, talking can be easy, but to stand up for the truth and living the truth is another thing. Siva say, I must not talk about him when I preach, but I've spent most of my time with him. Every morning I wake up, I know I will see Siv. And he's the last person I will see when he's going. We talk a lot. And we joke a lot. And the time will just go by. I would like to stay with him maybe for 4 hours, chatting nothing at the end. But you know what, folks? When I go back to the township, I will tell my friends, we were wrong. There are Indians that will partake in the kingdom of God. There are Indians who love blacks, living in such a situation where we don't love each other. Meaning that the gospel does penetrate to people's heart. And at the end, they live as God has called us. Let me close like this. There is a reward to those who will hold to the true gospel. And there is a reward to those who will stand up and refute the false teachers. The question that we left is, which gospel are you in? And which gospel do you promote? May God bless you.